Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. It's a new venture hour this Friday, starting with WIN TV Network, where you can play interactive game shows at any time via smart TV sets or devices. Chief Executive Baron Storm joins me next from Canada. A new multi-channel bundle came to Roku this past Tuesday. StreamFire offers user-generated services with subject matter from paragliding to motorbikes. Well, ride StreamFire's trail later this hour with Chief Executive Nicholas Trinkler joining us live from Vienna, Austria. Also ahead, Xbox's new TV Life, Season 3 for Apple TV Plus's C, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, and present on Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later this half hour. Good to have you with us on this Friday afternoon for a unique new venture edition of the program all about TV's current and future. 68 degrees at the top of the hour here in New York. Tribeca Film Festival back up and running in person. So far, so great. Everybody's still talking about Wednesday night Within the Heights, which I think is going to be a smash hit. Started yesterday in theaters all over the country and also simulcasting through HBO Max. We have a very unusual hour in store for you. Two new ventures, one that started this past week, and we have the Chief Executive Officer of both services with us live from very unique locations, and they want to hear from you. So give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the globe here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. Also, use our chat room. It's open to business right now. It's SimonApple04 by name, and you can catch it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And we usually do this, but we want to hear from those of you that may have used WIN TV Network or have watched StreamFire. So if you caught either network or both, we want to hear from you. So use our phone, use our chat room. Sooner you do, sooner we hear from you on the air. And while the program is on the air, you can catch others by using Facebook Timeline. It's on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk speaker, tune in screen. Follow the instructions of TV Live with you. Baron Storm from WIN TV Network joins us live from Edmonton, Canada, after these news notes. Microsoft is moving forward with multiple initiatives to bring Xbox games in playable fashion through smart TV sets and gadgets. The goal? Have one or more of these directions operational by year-end. According to Xbox head Phil Spencer, discussions have started with a number of TV set makers to embed Xbox directly to their sets, with only a controller for extra hardware required for players. Another project is development of an Xbox smart TV device, no console required, and incorporating cloud technology. A third group is implementing Xbox Game Pass, that's a smart TV service, or I should say a Microsoft Xbox service, as a TV delivered cloud gaming service, similar to Apple Arcade or Google Stadia. Microsoft may offer more details about these efforts and maybe others Sunday during a virtual presentation from the annual E3 exhibition. C, Apple TV Plus's depiction of a post-apocalyptic society where the majority of citizens are blind, will get a third season 3 there next year. Season 2, co-starring Jason Momoa and Alfre Woodard, starts playing on Apple TV Plus August 27th. The series has been lauded for employing blind and low-vision cast and crew members in a substantial manner. Incidentally, Jonathan Tropper, the creator of Cinemax hit Banshee and Warrior, who's been on our show when both programs were on the air on Cinemax, has now taken over the showrunner duties on C, and we hope to have him on this program again when C premieres Season 2, August, on Apple TV+. So stay tuned, we hope, for that. Now some quickies. Peacock will satirize unscripted musical talent competitions with Take Note, a new 10-episode comedy series. Wayne Brady, real-life game show host himself from Let's Make a Deal, will play an animated host on the upcoming Netflix series The Cuphead Show. He was also doing Game of Talents recently, earlier this spring, on Fox. And P-Valley creator and executive producer Katori Hall has won the 2021 Pulitzer Prize for Drama. It's for the off-Broadway play, The Hot Wing King, that was produced before the coronavirus pandemic. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Edmonton, Canada, Canada being the home of a number of great game show hosts, including Monty Hall and Jim Perry, the creator and chief executive of WIN TV Network, Baron Storm. Baron, thanks for coming on.
Hey, my pleasure there, Simon. Nice to chat with you, and just love your radio voice there. very, very exciting. So I've got to get you involved in Win TV somehow or other.
All right, we'll get into that offline. But first, how is Win TV doing?
Well, it's going viral right now. Today alone, I think, from midnight, there's approximately 16.7 million hits to the website, and it's just growing faster and faster. There's no sign of it slowing down. And it's just a kind of a radical departure from normal television networks. I'm an old-time television producer with about 3,500 network shows under my belt that have been shown around the world. And as you know, because I think you've had a lot of experience in the television business, one of the biggest barriers to the television industry is the high cost that you have to create content with. It's an upfront cost that for many people is a real challenge to get the financing first, then go do a show, and then hopefully cross your fingers and it's a success. But what I've done is I've reduced that upfront cost to almost a minimum. In fact, Simon, I could take a still picture of you and make you into a $1 million game show, and it would be shown all over the world. And you know what? People would stare at your picture for an hour in order to be able to answer the questions that would give them $1 million or some other great prize. So it's a very, very different approach to the television industry. And that's why it's attracting attention from all over the world right now. It's just a lot of fun.
So in the United States, at least, what smart TV sets and smart TV devices are carrying your service? And then if you want to play anytime, anywhere, using your smart TV set or device, how do you do it?
Well, you just use your smart TV device to check into the website wintv.network, and it should come up on your smart TV or your phone anywhere in the world where you have these items, and you can play the game. I mean, it's just incredible the audiences that we're getting from places like Bangladesh, for example, from India, from Sri Lanka, from Europe, from the UK, and it's just very interesting to watch the demographics that it's attracting and the usage. I mean, it's just overwhelming, actually, and we haven't even started the marketing yet. So God knows what it's going to be like when we actually get fully operational. It's going on right now on the Win TV network, and basically, it's like any other television game show. You have to answer some questions. There's a skill-based element. So you can watch a video or a picture that we put up. In this particular game, I think the prize is $1,000 U.S., and you have to count the number of birds that are in a particular video. So if you go to wintv.network and just count the birds in this particular video, you could possibly end up with a $1,000 in your pocket by the end of the week. And we've already had winners on the site, so it's a great thrill for me to phone them up and say, hey, you played a game, you've got money in your pocket, my friend, and you hear the squeals and the happy laughter and everything else. It's great. And I guess most of your listeners have always seen television game shows in the past, but most of them, if you've noticed it, are limited to 1 to 4 contestants. And what I've done, using state-of-the-art technologies, some in-house developed algorithms, and some very creative approaches to content, I've basically opened it up to where anyone, anywhere in the world, can now be a television game show contestant. It's a radical departure from the standard old-school production methods where you are limited to 1 to 4 contestants. And this is just a confirmation of this whole thing. When you get, you know, these kind of numbers coming to your website every day, it's just great.
WinTV Network is the new interactive game service that is now running on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, not only here in the United States and in Canada, but all around the world. We're talking with the creator and chief executive of the service, Baron Storm. He joins us live this half hour from Edmonton, Canada, here on Tomorrow We Televise, the first of our two segments dealing with new television services. Sam Ab, I'm with you live from New York. We're at 68 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy to have you with us. You get ready for a super weekend. And if you have a question or a comment for Baron, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Got a big week of shows coming your way next week. Three episodes, Monday, Wednesday, Friday this hour. We kick off the week with a 90-minute episode on Monday. We will have not one, but two key organizers of major television festivals. It is the Co-op Series Fest, Randy Kleiner, Series Fest again, virtually for the second year in a row from Denver. And they have a big, big variety of special events and competitions involving people who want to create TV series and people watching pilots and even script formats. So Randy will talk about all of that, and they have a very exciting lineup of panels and special guests as well. Then we'll meet the director of the new Crackle series, Promised Land. It's a bio series about the great NBA budding superstar, Ja Morant. In his first year, he won Rookie of the Year. In his second year, which just completed, he led his team, the Memphis Grizzlies, to their first playoff run in four seasons. They lost to the Utah Jazz, who are now playing their semifinal, conference semifinal series with the Denver Nuggets. And we will have the director of Promised Land on Crackle, Dexter DeBore, will be with us. And finally, we'll have one of the key organizers, Tribeca Film Festival, handles the television side of things. They have a very big TV lineup planned for next week. Lisa Dominic will be with us. That's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, 9 edition of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming your way. Do not miss it. Baron, what kind of games can people play? Is it just question-answer trivia, where either you get the question or you have to see a video and do some deciphering information from it, or do you have other types of games also?
Yes, we have almost 1 million trivia games on the site. When you go to WinTV Network, wintv.network, you can choose from almost 1 million games. And then we have some featured games which have the big money that are attached to them. And that will be anywhere from $100,000 up to $1 million per game. And these games are developed by our in-house, what we call game jockeys or DJs. And they're fascinating because these people have real life skills. For instance, we have a fighter pilot from Vietnam who is doing our aeronautical war games and military games. Typically, a fighter pilot has to do 25 missions. This particular character did 316 missions and managed to survive to tell the tale, and he is a GJ on the site. We have another young lady who is a captain of a luxury yacht. Right now, she's in the Bahamas with a charter. She's been doing this for 25 years and has sailed all over the world. And we have these treasure hunt games, which are fascinating. And one of the other interesting things about WinTV.network is that there is always, with the trivia games, an underlying educational value because, I mean, even when I play the games myself, for instance, there's a game on there, Dogs and Cats. You have to name 187 different breeds of dog in 4 minutes. And when I first started playing the game, I'd maybe get 20, 30 right. But now I'm close to 100%, so I'm actually learning. And it's just great. It's great for kids, great for adults. And if you want to play the money games, well, then you can subscribe to the network, and it costs $1 a day, and you can win up to $1 million. So it's just really good, and you can play it anywhere in the comfort of your home, anywhere in the world.
So, Baron, some of the games are free to play. Some of them have a charge. How is the network making money? Is it through a monthly subscription? Is it or a charge? Is it through ad support? What is the revenue stream for WinTV?
Well, there's several revenue streams. Obviously, subscriptions like Netflix is sort of a Netflix model, if you like. But you can join for 1 day, or you can join for a week, or you can join for a year. There's special deals for families, teams, churches. organizations, pubs, businesses, there's different prices which make it very, very affordable. In fact, I think the lowest price, if it's a family, is something like 30 cents a day for a year's membership, which is great entertainment, and you can play as many of the money games as you like. And if you win, we'd love to spoil you. We need winners. So that's one side of it. But the other side that's really interesting, and we knew it would be good, but we didn't know it would be this good. It's attracting a huge number of people, companies, entities that want global advertising outside of the traditional type of advertising venues. Television advertising, as you know, is very expensive. At the high end, you're paying $5 million for a 30-second ad on Super Bowl. But what we've done is we actually take the corporate message or the advertising commercial or whatever, and we actually include that into the content of the show. Now, typically when you're watching standard television, when the commercials come on, you go raid the fridge for a bite to eat or go to the bathroom. But here, you have to watch the commercials because you may be missing a clue that could give you $1 million. So, you know, you have to watch these messages, and it's just fantastic. Now, we have a new client here that we're working with, and they have developed one of the best sugar replacement products that I've ever come across. It's a product that I've known for about 15 years and watched it develop, but it's an FDA-approved product. It's Canada Health approved. It's European Food Safety Authority approved. And it's just very, very good. And one of the things that we're very concerned about is the amount of sugar in our diet. So we've been chatting about putting this kick the sugar, use naturally sweet product. And my word, on Facebook, people from all over the world are cluing in to this kick the sugar campaign. And, you know, this is a fantastic product, and every family should use it. But this is just one. There's another group that's a medical diagnostics group that can predict, basically, what you're possibly going to suffer in the next 2 years, including things like heart attacks. I don't know if you want to know it or not, but this is all very preliminary. But we make tremendous revenues from our advertising programs. We always like to try and do something different to make it stand out from the norm. And, you know, I've made a career of producing shows and advertising and marketing for the last 50 years, basically. And one of the keys is to make sure that it's a little bit different from everything else. It attracts attention.
Barron, what kind of interest are you getting from advertisers like the ones you were talking about? For example, whether it's the folks behind plant-based foods like Morningstar Farms or Beyond Meat or Impossible Foods, or, for example, some of the unique milk alternative products like Silk or Farmland or Oatly, or some of the, or natural food or natural vitamin supplement chains like GNC or Vitamin Shoppe, et cetera.
Well, I should point out that the particular product that we're talking about here, Naturally Sweet, is a plant-based product that is an all-natural thing. And, in fact, it's probably better than any of the companies that you've actually mentioned. I am familiar with Oatly. I am familiar with a lot of the others that you mentioned. And this particular product is superb. It is, I think the best thing to do, rather than taking up time here, would be to go either onto Facebook or onto the WinTV.network site, and then you'll be able to see some information on it. But it is incredible. It's been a long time in the works, getting it developed by the scientists. And I've been lucky enough to be exposed to the development over the years, and including going through the various processes. In fact, I believe that it is the only product that is approved as clinically safe by all three major health authorities that I mentioned earlier. And so it sets it apart from anything else in the clients that you mentioned. But I would love to work with these guys. I think that there's a tremendous shift in the way diet is being considered by people right now around the world. And we have just announced that we are doing a little television show in our Utah studios that will incorporate global recipes, sugar-free recipes from around the world, different cultures, different outlooks on their food. And this is really kind of interesting, and I just love the way that the response has been. I'm getting pictures in and videos in from all over the world right now as we speak.
You're hearing Varun Storm. He is the creator and chief executive of WIN TV Network, now available on smart TV sets and smart devices worldwide. He joins us live from Edmonton, Canada. This half hour on Tomorrow will be televised on our special New Ventures Hour. Find out about with you live from New York. No question or comment, our meeting minutes with Varun. Give us a call, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And don't forget, we have our classic trivia question coming up near the top of the hour, so get ready, because you can win a trio of prizes if you've got the correct answer. And coming up 1 week from today on our program, we'll meet the people behind a brand new venture, also for smart TV sets and devices, called Strum. Think of it as the best of unique smart TV programming services available in one place in a very unusual payment format. And it's from the former head of Walt Disney, Michael Eisner. You'll meet two of the key organizers of this venture a week from today, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Varun, you are doing something that a lot of people in the game show community, I'm sure, front or back of mind, have wanted to do for years, an interactive game show network that's available all over the place. Are you hearing from the Fremantles, the Sonys, the game show producers of the world saying, we love what you're doing, we want to produce formats for you, we want to get you advertisers, things like that? And also, given the fact that we now have smart TV technology, where with artificial intelligence, Siri, Google Assistant, Alexa, it built into the set, built into the device, that allows people to control what they do with their voice as well as with the remote control, what kind of future do you see for your network in terms of incorporating that technology into your programming?
Well, with this new technology, it's just opening up a whole new field for producers and for content creators. But in answer to your question, am I being approached? The answer is yes. I can't say who they are at this particular point, but I can tell you that within a very short period of time, we have had three major companies approach me, and on Monday, I can tell you this one, Microsoft has set up a meeting with me to discuss some possible avenues. And so, start at the top and work down.
Barry, I got to interrupt you. If you heard our opening news note, you know that Microsoft has now gone on record saying, we want to put Xbox games on the television set between now and the end of the year, whether it's by individual smart TV set makers like Samsung, LG, et cetera, whether it's creating our own smart TV device, a plug-in or streaming stick or set-top box like a Google Chromecast or a Amazon Fire TV and so forth. Is that a possibility of WIN TV becoming an avenue for Xbox in terms of this Microsoft
Discussion? Absolutely, because there's a synergy here between, for instance, just go back a step here and you look at the rise of esports on these games that Xbox and others provide. But again, the dynamic of this is like the old television game shows. They concentrate on four or five people in a team that plays in front of these sold-out stadiums. What I can do with my network and Microsoft or anyone else in the esports business is open it up to the world where we can create games that not only require the skills to play them, but also have some huge money prizes for individuals rather than just as a team. So, again, going back on this philosophy of instead of concentrating on a small team, number of members on a team, open it up to the millions of people and provide the right balance where it's a skill-based game, but it's also got some other element in it that this particular WinTV.network can provide. And that's when things will really, really take off. I'm so excited. Like, I've been involved in the television business for 50-odd years, and you'd think I'd be jaded by now, but I'm telling you something, Simon. This is just so exciting. My heart's pumping. My blood is racing, and I'm like a horse with no reins. I'm ready to tackle the world. And the number of people, businesses, avenues that we can go in this, it's basically unlimited. And the AI, the artificial intelligence aspect of this thing, and the new technologies that are coming through, these smart televisions and phones, it's unbelievable where it's going to go. And this is truly the first network that is really kind of doing this. And it's just so exciting that, you know, I just happen to be in the right place at the right time with the right idea. And so, yes, it's very, very exciting.
Yeah. And that's also include virtual worlds and augmented reality, which Rival Peak, project that was on Facebook Watch and on Portal, which is Facebook's own smart TV device, has been doing for most of the last year or so. Final question, do you see wagering games, sports and otherwise, gamification, as some people are calling it, do you see that being part of WinTV down the road, if you can get all the logistics in terms of different countries, U.S., Canada, Europe, Asia, you know, continents all straightened out?
What was the question about the games, Simon? I'm sorry,
wagering
I missed
games,
the first part.
Course betting, you know, sports betting, betting games that don't have to that deal with entertainment apart from sports.
Well, there's a very fine distinction, although the laws are changing state by state in the United States regarding gaming. At this particular point, WinTV is not gaming. It's skill-based like any other television game show. But we're certainly keeping an eye on it. We've been approached by two of the major sport, fantasy football people in the area there. But it's a little premature because we have to figure out the legalities. We don't want to get into the bureaucracy and the regulations of the gaming industry. You know, the television game show has been accepted since 1938 as a staple for television around the world because it has that skill element, and it bypasses all of that regulatory and bureaucracy that the gaming industry has. So at this particular point, we'll stay here. But certainly we're keeping an eye open on that because I really do think that at some point that's going to happen, and it's going to happen big worldwide. It's just difficult to see how rules and regulations of various bureaucracies are going to be able to stop it. I mean, you know, there's online gaming every day around the world, and it's just a question of its growth. Coming in to sync with what we're doing here at WinTV.network.
And WinTV.network is now available on many smart TV sets and smart TV devices. If you want to know if your set device can do it, here's where you go online and find all details about this service. It's WinTV, WINTV.network. It's WINTV.network, and that website is available worldwide. Once again, WINTV.network. Baron Storm, the creator and chief executive of WinTV Network, thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on the early success so far. I have a hunch that your service is going to be watched very, very carefully by a lot of people in and out of the game show community and the game community, and hopefully have you back soon when more developments are popping up.
I'd love to come back, Simon. It's a pleasure chatting with you, and all the best there in New York. Take care and stay safe.
All right, you two up in Canada, and all of our best to everybody up there in that country. Hopefully that pandemic is lifting there just like it is lifting big time here in the U.S. We are going to lift this pandemic kingdom come. Thanks again, Baron. Take care. Enjoy the weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Baron Storm of WinTV Network joining us live from Edmonton, Canada. When we come back, our second new venture, and it's an interesting one. It's a multi-channel bundle, user-generated content called StreamFire. You will meet the person behind it, Nicholas Trinkler. We're going live to Vienna, Austria for him, and that's happening after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're listening to www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tunein.com, all together reaching over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And don't forget, every weekday morning on BTR, you can catch Kings in the Morning. It's a very unique morning radio show, no matter where you are, music, news, fun, discussion all over the place with Jay King and his crew. It's Kings in the Morning every weekday, including on Monday, 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Best BTR coming your way 24/7 at YouTube.com as well. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised. Tonight I'm with you live from New Weather. You are coming up shortly. We go live to Vienna, Australia for our second, new venture of the day called Streamfire. But first, some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. If you're looking for a unique science fiction tale, how about this one? Andy Weir's The Martian. What if you were the first astronaut to land on Mars with the rest of your crew, but because of a dust storm, you're the only survivor? Can you get off the planet? Will you ever be able to get off the planet? Well, that's what The Martian by Andy Weir is all about, narrated by Star Trek The Next Generation's own Will Wheaton. You can get it right now for the trial run at Audible.com. Remember, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and inspiration. 200,000 titles plus to choose from, and you listen to them on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, Rebel, IR Radio, etc. Don't forget, just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. It's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook and 1 month trial of service. Plus, if you're already an Amazon Prime member, you can make that two audiobooks for your trial of one, with one of those audiobooks being from the great catalog of Audible Originals and fast-growing, too. We're talking about original audio productions and podcast series, best of Broadway, off-Broadway, and regional theater, and great one-woman and one-man performances. And by the way, don't forget, next week is Amazon Prime Day, and if you order, by the way, off your trial and become an Audible member, you will save more than half off on your first 4 months subscription. But you must do that during Prime Day next week. For all details, go to audibletrial.com/televised. Well, if you have a question or comment for our next guest, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. On Tuesday, Roku introduced its newest multi-channel bundle. It's called Streamfire. It's a selection of user-generated genre channels and much, much more in the works. Five to start. Joining us live from Vienna, Austria, in an inner radio exclusive, is the founder and the chief executive officer of Streamfire, Nicholas Trankler, where it is prime time, by the way, in his neck of the globe. Nicholas, welcome in.
Hello, Simon. Thank you for the invitation. It's good to be here.
It is a pleasure to have you here, and thank you for making part of your prime time happening with us. Well, Streamfire is now 4 days old on Roku. How's it been doing?
Yes, exactly. So we launched 4 days ago, and it's been really exciting. Some short nights, so not much sleep for me. But yeah, I would say in general, so my mission is pretty straightforward. We want to offer a voice on TV to anybody that has a passion and the ability to produce great video. And we do this with a TV network where we identify relevant niches such as paragliding, duck hunting, cycling, motorbikes, and then work with the most talented creators in this field and industry leaders to produce great television. And why do we do this? The TV set in the U.S. is actually like still the most popular device for watching video. However, the user-generated content and creator content has hardly any representation on there. We did a study ourselves with some creators, like how much of the viewing time is happening over like smart TV, over the YouTube app. And it's hardly any. It's like 1.7% of the viewing time is happening over there. So we feel like we need to give, like, it's a field where just a few have a voice. So like the corporation, the streaming corporations, and we feel like we need to give the many a voice to be on television. And yeah, this is like why we founded Streamfire, and like the last couple of days been very exciting. Especially for these creators that before we even came in contact with them, they were like focusing on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, wherever they could push the content, but they never believed that they could actually be on TV with the content at some point. And yeah, we've launched with five channels. They are available on Roku, on Streamfire. If you don't have a Roku device, you can watch it also on streamfire.com. They are like Paragliding TV, the cycling channel, Duck Hunting TV, Motorbikes and Engines, and Big City TV. And what I can tell you about the numbers, we did a soft launch with the different channels as like singular apps before we did a bundle on them. And first of all, there's like the community, which is like super behind of it, because like it's one part of their community. So like the communities tune in and they stay for a really long time. So on each channel, the average retention time is at least 40 minutes per channel visit. So like every viewer on average stays for 40 minutes watching the channel. And then the ones recurring is also like really high. And then the third thing, and I think this is like what making it like makes Streamfire special, since we're like so close with the communities, they want to help. They want to provide video content. They want to share it with the network. They ask, how can we bring this on further? How can we make the next step to Amazon Fire TV? How can we get on Samsung TV? Is there anything that we can help to bring like these channels farther ahead? So yeah, thank you for asking.
Yeah. Why did you pick Roku as your entry point to this service? What about their platform you felt was this is the best way possible to introduce our service to viewers?
Yes, I want to go like a little bit back. So like what I did previously before Streamfire was building software for playout technologies, cloud playout technologies, where you could like easily build a TV channel and then stream it anywhere on the internet. And the idea kind of came behind it since we got a lot of requests from creators, and we kind of tested out because they told us, well, we don't really have like a possibility to be streaming on TV, to produce TV. And when we were testing with them, they got like huge engagement. So this is kind of what the initial idea. And we said we want to first focus on one platform and really understand this platform. So we said before we go on 10 platforms at once and be like on like 10 different weddings, we want to like really understand one platform. And there we identified Roku as the most friendly for user-generated content. The initial idea of Roku was like to make TV possible to anybody, to like have anybody make a channel on it. But like if you scroll around through Roku, you realize pretty quick that a channel on Roku means just like a small video on demand library, but it doesn't mean television. And the second part is Roku is available in 50 million households, I believe. So it gives us the possibility to reach a lot of viewers at the same time. These were like pretty much the two things that like Roku, from a sense, feels like that general idea of Roku was to make TV, producing TV possible to anybody. But it was like not on this form as we would want to see it. And the second part, that we can make it into 50 million households at 1 second.
As I'm sure you're aware, Nicholas, user-generated content is a moving target in terms of production quality. It runs all over the map. You have shows that no matter how great the format might be or the storyline might be or the subject matter might be, sometimes user-generated uses like the best and the brightest in technology, in video technology, and sometimes the worst. How are these channels curated, and what kind of oversight is there of production quality to make sure the viewer gets a very good quality experience?
Yes, I would say for the first part of your question, I think it's really important to say that I don't think that a concept like Streamfire would have worked 2 years ago. The reason why I think it works today is because technology is getting better. Every smartphone camera is able to produce video technology or video quality that you can watch on TV. And the skills of people of producing video is getting better. So like there are like more and more and more amateurs that have a passion in something and are able to produce great video. I don't think a couple of years ago this would have been. And for curating our channels and content, we have a very high diligence. So first of all comes the interest. So we decided to put interest above of celebrities, let's say. So like the interest is the most important. People must know what they're going to get. If they watch paragliding, they can assume they will see paragliding lessons, flights all over. If they watch duck hunting, they can assume they will watch people hunting ducks like in the Midwest. So interest is the most important. And there we focused on like the outdoor activities and the ones that were like still underserved by mainstream media. The second one is, as you said, the quality of the creators. And here we look at three big things. The first one is like, is it lean back or lean forward? In user-generated content, especially with Twitch and so on, creators often try to like make you engage with it, like comment or please like this and all this stuff. But what we need for television, what we believe, is lean back content, like content that you just like sit there and watch and just like relax. So like this is the first part that we source through creator content is who is producing lean back content, who is like not telling you to like engage and comment and all this stuff, but like produces a good video and makes a movie out of it pretty much. The second part is how long are the videos? Because we are in television, we need a certain length. So like if someone is producing great videos, but all of these videos are like 2 or 3 minutes long, this won't work for television. So we are looking for creators that have like really episodes that feel like small TV episodes. And then the third part is that they are really focused with a topic and nothing around. So that they are like a industry leader in it, that they know what they're doing, and that they have this community also like build up because they are doing this so good. I would say yes, these are the three points to like bring the right content to our platform.
We are speaking with Nicholas Trinkler. He is the chief executive of Streamfire, the brand new multi-channel bundle of user-generated genre content that premiered this past Tuesday on Roku, available all over the United States and elsewhere. And Nicholas joins us live from Vienna, Austria, where it is prime time right now, going from Friday into Saturday. Here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon with you live from New York, where it is 68 degrees at the top of the hour. You have a question or comment for Nicholas, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Remember, Monday, first of three episodes next week, starts off with a 90-minute edition featuring Randy Kleiner, the co-founder and chief executive officer of SiriusFest, one of the top TV festivals where a lot of people want to break into the industry. We'll have independent pilot competition entries, also possible scripts for new series, and they'll do it in all sorts of very interesting ways. Plus, a lot of interesting TV personalities and creative talent will also be there, and Randy will talk about all of that. Then, the creator and director of the new Crackle series, Promised Land, about NBA budding superstar Ja Morant of the Memphis Grizzlies, Dexter DeBoer, will be with us. And finally, one of the organizers of the TV side of the Tribeca Film Festival, which started Wednesday night big time with In the Heights, which premiered, by the way, yesterday on HBO Max, and also on local movie theaters across the country. Lisa Domnitz will be with us. That's all coming up on a special 90-minute Monday edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. That's Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Do join us. It's going to be very, very special. Nicholas, how many – you have 5 channels right now. Are there any channels that are in waiting that you'll be bringing on over the next few weeks or months?
Yes, we are talking with a couple of new channels, but it's like, as I said, it's like a big diligence. So like the process of the onboarding of new channels takes up to 2 months until we like identify a topic, identify the creators and say, okay, this is now the quality that we have. What we're like looking right now, especially is more in the outdoor activities, especially going into hiking and climbing. So these are the two areas we want to be launching in the near future.
Do you see a role for user-generated scripted television as well as non-scripted television in your service?
That's, I think, like the interesting part about user-generated content is that in many cases it feels like unscripted, and it also is in many cases unscripted, but in many cases it just feels like unscripted but like is scripted. I think this is user-generated content across all platforms, like even a TikTok video that is 10 seconds long can be scripted content. In our cases, most of the videos still are unscripted because like you cannot script a bike race or a duck hunt. But I think it has definitely a potential, but it needs to feel this natural feeling. So I think the key success of user-generated content that is like very relatable. The same with us. All of our creators, they are like everyday guys. Like you would like normal guys that live like across the U.S. in Kansas, in California, in Colorado. and they have the normal jobs and they have the passions. And part of our TV experience is that you like feel part of them, like feel part of what they're doing, feel part of the friends group of the duck hunters going for a hunt, feel like you're being on the bicycle and follow the cycling race. So if you go into scripted television in user-generated content, you have to make sure that it feels unscripted, that it feels relatable, that you can identify with the person or with the group doing this. Does it make sense to you?
It certainly does. And I want to sort of further this point along, because in the 1950s and 1960s, we had a variety of television series that were produced outdoors, some of which dealt with some of these unique outdoor activities. There were shows like Sea Hunt, Ripcord, which dealt with parachute, which dealt with a company that had parachute jumpers. There was Whirlybird that dealt with people around a helicopter agency getting into all sorts of adventures. You had Cowboy in Africa, you had Daktari. You know, Ivan Torres was one of the key executive producers of who did Sea Hunt, was one of the executives of this kind of outdoor drama. So I'm like wondering, for example, for a thing like paragliding television, if a creator came up and said, I'd like to do a dramatic series about the life of a paraglider or a group of paragliders and the events they get into, would that be an opportunity for scripted to be part of a service like Duck Hunting Television or Cycling Channel or paragliding?
Yes, no, definitely. So like being part, like having a scripted series about the topic, there we come back to like what are the important pillars of our TV channels. If it's fully about the topic, if it's user-generated and if you feel like it and it's produced like television, then it definitely fits into our concept.
So who knows? You know, there could be an avenue here, because I'll tell you, it's been a long, long time since we've had shows like Ripcord, Whirlybirds, Sea Hunt, which were all well done. In many cases, they had groundbreaking cinematography, whether it was up in the air or underwater. So you never, never know. It could be a great opportunity for scripted creators to get involved with your service. Just like we did
yes.
with Wind TV Network, how is the network being supported? I understand it's free to the user, free to the viewers. Are you doing advertised support? Are you looking at a subscription kind of model? What is sort of the way to earn revenue?
Definitely. So the format that we want to go is a free to use. So we don't we believe that, especially like with these strong communities behind, we want to engage with them so much that we want to offer it for free and not have them pay for it. So this is why we're building up an ad-supported model. This is for one, of course, with classical digital advertising, where we have like ad opportunities and these ads are being sold. We are like started with this already, and it's like a step-by-step process that we have ad inventory that is like being sold and over like media partners. And then, of course, the second part, which I think is very interesting, is, of course, the channel sponsoring, because, like, with paragliding, you, of course, have, like, one specific buying persona that you can target with our channel. The same comes with duck hunting, and the same comes with cycling, and the same comes with motorbikes. So we build up specific buying personas that are definitely, like, going to be interesting for brands that want to, like, target these exact buying personas in the future and be there as a channel sponsor.
Mm-hmm. Some advertisers and some advertising agencies now have special what they call branded content studios, where they're trying to look for opportunities
yep.
to create content for various networks. And Roku, about 3 months ago, launched their own brand studio, which in fact just started their first program called Roku Recommends, which is a way to showcase various programming that people might not know about. Have you talked to Roku or talked to some advertisers about using their brand studios or branded content enterprises to create user-generated content?
The thing I would say about this user-generated content, it has to feel like that is coming from the person itself. So we don't see ourselves in a studio per se, because the way how user-generated content is being produced is with a smartphone, with a GoPro, and being on the way. So this is like how these shows are being produced, how the episodes are being produced. It's like as a cycling race, which is like being produced on the GoPro, where you have like mounted different GoPros and then a narrator behind it and like explaining it. if we now go into a studio and like cooperate with brands to go into a studio, it's kind of feeling selling our identity.
You're hearing Nicholas Trenkler. He is the creator and chief executive of Streamfire, now available on Roku. 5 channels so far, more to come. He joins us live from Vienna, Austria, this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Tom, I'm with you live from New York. Have a question or comment in our remaining minutes with Nicholas. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up shortly, our topic should be a question of the week. Last time we're doing it this week, so get your brains ready, because you can win trio prizes if you got the correct answer and get it to us by email before the end of the day or by the end of the weekend. Nicholas, obviously there's obvious advertiser tie-ins for some of these channels. The cycling people, the bicycle makers, the motorbike people, the motorbike makers, the motorcycle makers. Have you heard from some of those advertisers in terms of trying to tie into these channels?
No, we haven't started this process of being, besides of the duck hunting, this is the only one where we already started the process with the channel sponsoring. But with the other channels, since we're like so freshly on the market, our first focus is building up our audience, building up our viewer base, and then going to the advertisers. So like first we do our homework to make an attractive product to advertisers, and then we show them what is possible with us.
Yeah. And finally, how soon will your service expand to other smart TV sets and smart devices, whether on the TV set side, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Philips, et cetera, or on the device side, Amazon Fire TV, Google Chromecast, NVIDIA Shield, Portal TV from Facebook, et cetera?
We of course, want to move as quickly as possible. So our next step with Streamfire as itself is, of course, Amazon Fire, where we see ourselves still in this year coming to Amazon Fire. And then with all these names that you said, we want to be there as quickly as possible as well, which is why we're negotiating with other FAST services right now of possibly being within their channel lineups with selected channels where it makes sense to like broaden the audience and make it available on every device through their FAST services. But right now, if an audience doesn't have a Roku stick at home, there's still the availability on streamfire.com where you also can watch selected channels for free, and this can be on any device.
Paragliding TV, Duck Hunting TV, The Cycling Channel, Motorbikes Engines, and Big CTV with the Travel Destination Service. Those are the opening 5 channels of Streamfire, now available on Roku, hopefully sooner rather than later, on other smart TV sets and smart TV devices. More details about the service online, 2 places to go, streamfire.com, that's streamfire.com, and also roku.com. So streamfire.com, Streamfire, one word, .com, and roku.com. Streamfire, now available on Roku, soon on other smart TV sets and devices. Nicholas Trenker, the chief executive of Streamfire, joining us live from Vienna, Austria. Thank you again for joining us. Congratulations on your premiere on Roku early this week. And all the very best to you and your crew. And hopefully, I have a hunch, like I said, with Win TV Network, we're definitely going to be hearing more from you as you continue and expand your adventure in the world of smart TV living programming services. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much. Was good talking to you.
Same here, Nicholas. Thanks again for making the prime time available for us. We really appreciate it back in the United States. All the rest to you and everybody out in Vienna and the rest of Europe. Have a sensational weekend.
Bye-bye.
Nicholas Trenkler, chief executive of Streamfire, joining us live from Vienna, Austria. Now time for our classic trivia question of the week. We started offering this question on Monday. If you're first with a great answer, we've got 3 prizes for you. 2 Babylon 5 soundtracks from that popular syndicated science fiction series not so long ago. Music by the series composer Christopher Frank. And the season 1 of Departures, the award-winning series originally on Outdoor Life Network, then later globally through National Geographic channels. Here's the question. According to the theme song of Maud, that's the popular comedy of the 1970s starring Bea Arthur on CBS, Lady Godiva was what? According to the theme song from Maud, Lady Godiva was what? And we need an exact answer. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name, where you're emailing from. First, we have to answer, you win the prizes. If you don't get a winner by the end of today, pose the question again tomorrow morning on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook on Simon Applebaum, Twitter on UBT Simon, TWBT. That's the EBC Simon, TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to play in, so do so, and all the very best. Before we leave you today, we want to update you on an interview that we wanted to do earlier this week that was a great invitation for us, and that was to do a live interview with the Tony Award-winning co-star of Hamilton, Devee Diggs. It was 5 years ago that he burst on the scene on Broadway with that fantastic musical, which, by the way, he recreated his award-winning role last year for the Disney Plus version of Hamilton. You also know him as the co-star of the popular TNT drama Snowpiercer, going to season 3 next year. And now he is the co-creator and executive producer of Blindspotting, the new series continuation of the award-winning independent film from several years ago that's premiering Sunday night on Stars, and tonight will be screened here in New York at the Tribeca Film Festival. We had hoped on Wednesday to do a live interview with David. Unfortunately, late Tuesday, hours after we got the chance to confirm him, he said, have to do it different time because of a change in schedule. We have been waiting for word whether we could do it this weekend. And by the way, if we did, it would be our first ever weekend episode in our nearly 14 years on the air. We have been waiting for an answer for the last 36 hours. We still don't have it at this moment. We hope we will be able to do it. If we do, we will let you know. And if not, we will extend the invitation for him to come on at a future time. So once again, no word yet on whether we will go forward with a weekend interview, either Saturday or Sunday afternoon, with Devee Diggs from Blindspotting. We hope we do. In the meantime, if you're in New York, you can see Blindspotting in person. The first episode tonight at the Tribeca Film Festival, I believe it's going to be in Manhattan. And everybody else, it will premiere on Sunday on Stars. And for all details on that, go to stars.com. And again, if we can't pull it off this weekend, doors open for Devee to be with us on a future date. But we can tell you that Monday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will have Lisa Dominance, who is the organizer, one of them, from the Tribeca Film Festival, dealing on the television side. Also joining us on Monday, the creator and director of the new Crackle critically acclaimed bio series on Ja Morant of NBA superstar fame, Promised Land, Dexter DeBoris. And we'll have Randy Kleiner, the co-founder and chief executive officer of Series Best Live from Denver, second year in a row virtual, more than ever, a great showplace for new talent who want to create new television series and series pilots. So we'll have all that for you in a 90-minute edition. That's Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific on Tomorrow Be Televised. Don't forget, 3 episodes coming your way next week. And next Friday, among our guests, we'll have two of the organizers of Strum, the brand-new smart TV plumbing service that is a very unique showcase for some of the channels already running, but in a very unique way, and a very unique way to watch and pay for them. That's coming up next Friday right here on Tomorrow Be Televised. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Check out our replays anytime you like this weekend over on Amazon Music, Verbal, iHeartRadio Podcast, Network Speaker Podcast, as well as iTunes and Apple TV. Remember, I'd love to hear what you thought about today's show and about our whole new venture hour. So why not email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn as well. We do respond within 24 hours to whatever you're communicating with us on. And we do, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants. I say those of Blog Talk Radio and other services program. Production associate at BTR is Mandolin. Andy Toe is Blog Talk Radio's general manager. Jay Steinberg is head of content. And the co-founders are Alan Levy and Bob Charish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Audible will transform the way you hear the world. Don't forget, if you subscribe to Audible.com using the trial on Prime Day next week, you will save more than half off your first 4 months subscription. For all details, audibletrial.com/televised. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Have a fantastic weekend. No matter what, we are back on Monday. 3 p.m. New Pacific, you know where. Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever it should be now and then, please make it safe, make it great. We are looking at this pandemic now more than ever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.